I didn't put it in so many words, but I said, that is congruent with my interior life. I want to be able to do that. Not that I want to be as pathetic as Proof Rock, but I want to be able to do what what that is. Now, of course, nobody can reproduce Proof Rock, but I think in my early stages, Elliot was the principal influence. And then as I've gotten older, there have been others, Haas and I would say Norman Doobie, who is a considerably different writer, but who is very good with finding an odd kind of moment, sometimes between people, sometimes when somebody's alone, which is very, very telling and very idiosyncratic. And I was always influenced by Doobie since I first started reading him.
You studied with Carl Shapiro.
Studied with Carl Shapiro at the University of California at Davis, yes.
Was he an influence on you?
Carl wrote a beautiful poem you might know. It's not one of his most famous poems. It's a poem called Aubade. And it actually influenced this and some of the other poems in my book. Now, most of Carl's poems did not influence me, but this poem did, and it's about a husband going off to work. He's about to drive off to work, and his wife is at home, and she's still in her robe. And the extraordinary physical and emotional love he bears for her as he's heading out the door, as he's getting into the car, is exquisite. The idea that he's leaving is the problem. He has to go away from her. And on this particular day, it's very hard.
You are very much a poet of time and transition.
Yes.
Aren't you? In the poem you read, Parallel Paths, there's that wonderful line that pulls the poem together, such a capricious drug, the present.
The present,
the constant awareness that time is splitting and moving on. Is it fair to describe the book, as some have, as nostalgic? What is the element of nostalgia in it?
That's a very good question. That's an interesting question. I think there is an element of nostalgia in it, but I don't know. I from my point of view, of course, the poems are there for anybody to make of what they will, right? And what the poet says is often the last thing you should listen to. But I think that if there's one thing that's consistently longed for in this book is a kind of absoluteness that doesn't exist for the protagonist or the narrators of the poems. A kind of old-fashioned faith in God or something like that, which the narrator longs for. And in the last section of poems in the book, it's five poems, all unified in a sequence, about my father's death. He died when I was 14. And so in some ways, I think there is, not to get too Freudian about myself, but there's the loss of the father, and I was deeply, deeply in love with my father. And then there was, in these poems, a kind of simultaneous loss of faith. And I think what I tend to do, although I haven't thought about this that much, so I'm kind of out here in the middle of, I'm walking out a plank here as I say this, but I think what I'm doing at times is turning towards romantic love and marital love as at least a provisional answer to that longing.
The end of The Steeple, you know, enacts that exactly. Believing absolutely in my love for both of them only, that is the family, I'll listen quietly in my chair, her lyric unchanted words breaking like revelations across his face.
Yes, yeah. You know, I hadn't thought about that as I was giving that answer, but that I think, in a way, those lines could almost stand for not just an answer to Stan's question, but to everything in the book. That this is what this character is doing in this book.
Mm-hmm. The voice, the character has a lot of investment in family, in the figure of the wife who's constantly almost mythologized as some sort of center or anchor in a way.
Well, that's not too far from the truth, Stan.
Yeah,
my wife is...
Ralph, question about the confessional edge. What I'm getting to is a poem that I really like in here is Eros in Middle Age.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
This poem, far from romanticizing at all or mythologizing at all, actually takes a very rather remarkably cold-eyed view, self-reflexive view on the speaker's part of at male love, male lust, male sexual need.
Yes.
It's a pretty cold, hard-eyed poem.
Yes, yes. I wrote that poem. I was, in fact, Ralph and I met each other in Italy, and I was teaching at the University of Florence, and I was writing my dissertation at the time, and I was reading a lot of criticism in order to write the dissertation, which was on the contemporary long poem. And I wrote one poem while I was there, and this was the poem I wrote. And shall I give it a read? Or is it too long?
It's too long probably to read right now because of our time restrictions.
Right,
I love the poem. And I just
want
to say, Ralph has something to ask you, but it ends, I think it's an exquisite little chiseled poem. I mean, in that sense, it's not one of your long or meditative poems. It's a more focused poem, almost imagistic to a certain extent.
Yes.
And it takes apart the fact that male lust seems to be triggered by any any female and a dangerous topic. And it ends with the poet going to make love to his wife, which is very appropriate.
Yes.
After initially taking her to see some famous art,
yes,
in Florence, the Rape of the Sabine Women,
which is in the Piazza Signoria.
Right, and she's not as impressed by it as he was in memory. And the poem ends with the image of being about to step over this line to rake the other's body with flexed fingers. To plummet, to preserve our rights of pillage. That's a tense kind of ending, the lovemaking, preserving rights of pillage, something.
Well, earlier I alluded to the fact that sometimes these poems about love want to bear with them a kind of realism. And I think that, in fact, you know, making love is a kind of animalistic thing, and at times you have to admit that both people have a kind of savage interest in the act, and that it is pillaging one another. You know, Adrienne Rich has a more romantic version of it. She says that we interpenetrate. Right, and to a degree, I can understand that and agree with that, but I think that we have to keep honest about things. And
I want to go back to Florence and your dissertation for just a quick second, because dissertations are usually things that we don't want to return to.
You
did write on the tradition of the American long poem,
right?
And there are a number of poems in this book that are fairly long,
yes.
Poems that are written in sections, numbered sections.